I'm Lance Carter, and you're listening to the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. Hey there! Welcome back! Last week I went to New York City for the Tribeca Film Festival, where I saw the documentary The Birth of Big Air. It's about the original BMX superstar Matt Hoffman, his rise to cult stardom, and how he kept the sport alive during its dog days. I got a chance to sit down and talk with director Jeff Tremaine, producer Johnny Knoxville, and Matt Hoffman himself. Now, you're probably thinking, why is he talking about a documentary? This is an acting website. Well, you're right, and I don't usually do that, but the film is great, Matt Hoffman deserves his time in the spotlight, and I wanted to meet Johnny Knoxville.
So, when did you guys, you two first hear about Matt, and how did he come onto your radar?
I want to say Matt first came on my radar when it came on everyone's radar through the magazine Freestyling. Mm-hmm. Everyone saw that little picture that, you know, rode BMX at that time.
Yeah.
And I met Matt in 1987 when he did his first tour with Skyway. I lived in Rockville, Maryland.
I grew up in Frederick.
Cool. And every summer, all the bike teams would come through Maryland. Rockville had one of the biggest bike shops on the East Coast, and they would do these big demos and get all the pro teams to come through. And Matt came through when he was, I want to say, 14, maybe 15. And to me, it was obvious right from the minute you saw him, he was riding at a different level, at another level than everyone else you saw. And then I followed him ever since.
Okay, I'm putting it up. Okay.
So how'd you guys get involved in this?
We decided to make this movie, I want to say, like Mark Lumen back there, and Matt and I talked probably in 2005 and decided, let's make this into a documentary. Mark had written the biography about Matt. And so in 2006, we went and interviewed Evel Knievel. Matt made us aware that Evel was really sick, and so it needed to get done. So we got that interview done, and that sort of got the ball rolling. And we did a bunch of interviews, and then it sort of, it was just something that was always on the back burner, but never, like, it was just kind of limping along until this opportunity to do it for the ESPN came.
How do you just keep on pushing your body like that, just to the limits? I mean, at some point, are you just going to say, you know, I'm done? You know what I mean?
It depends on medical science, really. If it keeps up, then I don't have to be done, I guess. But with all this stem cell research, maybe I'd grow a new body. I don't know.
Like Spike said, he looks at his body like a bicycle parts, and you know, I just replace them, and you know.
Yeah,
and
one of the things that isn't in the movie is Matt actually, 3 years ago, was run over by a Mack truck.
What?
In his car. He got T-boned.
Yeah,
and,
very ironic.
It really destroyed his shoulder, and Matt hasn't been able to ride for since then, and it really kind of ended his career. We didn't put that in the movie, but now Matt has somehow is riding again. He can't even shake your hand, but he's riding, you know, vert again. He's going to ride tonight after the movie. So.
When he shakes your hand, he has to hold it with his left. He holds his right forearm with his left hand so you don't pull it out of, basically off.
Well, I think he can't even really lift it. He has to lift it with...
But he's got this contraption he rigged that he puts his arm in when he rides. Mm-hmm. So he's... I don't know how it... I don't even know how it works, the physics of
it's
it.
It's the miracle of duct tape.
Yeah, duct tape and no brakes on his bike and one arm and, hey, he's riding.
Two of them.
Well, even that part of the movie where you said you taped your hand to the handlebars.
But yeah, that was, well, you know, that was like a...
That's another good idea.
Yeah, it was pretty, yeah, I had a broken wrist, and I had to, but I also broke this thumb. It was a bad day.
Life comes at you quick.
Yeah.
Bad day.
Yeah, it was,
damn,
it was
this
tough
is a bad
one. I was
day.
Like, could it get any worse? It just like kept... Build, I'm like,
can it get any worse? As he's duct taping his broke hand to his bike. Well, it's about to.
Yeah, I know it did too. That was
great. How does it feel to have a documentary about your life?
It's a huge honor to be able to work with you know, all these greats that all put this together for me, because it really, it's the first time I've ever done anything like as far as like anything television wise or for anything that it wasn't translated into like hey, that dude's a crazy dude X whatever, you know, like this was like the first time people I think that watch it walk away with the same inspiration that really inspired what it was, you know. And so that I you know, I never thought I would ever make anything that I feel they'd walk away from the same thing that I walk away with from it. And mm-hmm. that's pretty awesome.
Well, Matt's like one of the quietest, humblest guys you'll meet. So his story could have easily been lost just because he's not going to be the one to go out and boast and tell it, you know. Mm-hmm. So really, we needed mm-hmm. to tell it. You know,
we do his bragging for him.
It's an important story and piece of history that could easily get lost, you know.
Yeah.
Matt's whole career happened before there was really a TV opportunity for the sport, and luckily it was documented on video, so we were able to, like, the archives are ridiculous how much footage there is, but yeah, Matt's story just needs to be told.
Yeah, to really capture the heart of that story, it had to be told through people that live life with that same heart, and so that's what I think it just, this opportunity came that we could all do this together, and I think that's why it became, well, that's obvious, that's why it became what it is, and that's why I feel, you know, it really, yeah, but so, yeah, I didn't ever think that I'd have, I mean, I grew up with these guys, and they all kind of went, and just, you know, inspired the world in their own ways, and this is so awesome that we can tell a story of mine together, you know, it's really cool.
Tell them the Roger Allen Wade quote.
Yeah.
I showed my cousin the documentary, and he was just blown away by it. He loves Matt, and he wrote that this film's about so much more than an Oklahoma boy on a bicycle. It's about Icarus flipping off the sun. And it's like, that's what it is.
That totally is what it is.
Did I pronounce it right that time?
You did. I was like, what are you doing?
I should pronounce it like Ike Turner.
Icarus. Icarus.
How huge do you think Matt would be if he was born a couple years later in the era of the X Games?
Well, I don't know. I think Matt is... I don't know. It's like he's fucking huge to me. You know?
He would be a household name.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Sure. Yeah. You know? One, the sport would be evolving, you know? Like, Matt evolved the sport to where it became so TV-friendly, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So... You'd watch it all happen, you know.
Yeah, I was just watching. I don't think the X Games, and you guys kind of said this, would be where it is, or would even be there without Matt.
Yeah, well, definitely the centerpiece. Mm-hmm. Of, you know, which that giant ramp, Matt is hugely responsible for that.
Yeah.
And what is BMX going to be in the Olympics?
It's a crazy ride. I hit not in 2012, 2016, but it's like, yeah.
Matt, you represent BMX with, like, what is your...
Yeah, they made me that guy that's, like, president of the International Freestyle Federation, I think is the official name. But it's just basically the people that kind of keep hold of the reins with the Olympics being interested in wanting it to be on in there, just to make sure that it's represented and translated, you know, purely...
And another thing, you know, Matt is almost solely responsible for keeping his sport alive. You know, mm-hmm. it could have easily died. I always bring up the example of rollerblading. You know, rollerblading was a huge sport, a big X Games sport, but it died. And I think it died because it didn't have a strong advocate that would keep it, even in the low time of the sport. You know?
Plus, they were rollerblading.
Yeah, they were rollerblading. it is different, but you know, but I don't know. I think a strong personality could have, you know, like.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
But anyway, you know, Matt put the whole thing on his shoulders, and mm-hmm. you know, he drove not just by the riding he was doing, but you know, putting on the contest.
I'm really like honored that it that you know I was able to you know contribute that, but to be honest, I was just doing it all for myself. You know, I just loved what I did, and I just wanted to have contests. I wanted to play. I wanted to play with my friends. I love the people that BMX attracted, and it just, like, some of the greatest influences in my life came from this community, and so I just wanted to keep the community together and keep it together for the values that we all loved it for, you know, and not really for an industry or something. And so, yeah, I mean, in retrospect, I'm like, wow, it's so cool. It, like, influenced a lot, but, man, I was just kind of doing it to keep stoked.
But it's like, you love it so much, and that's really inspiring, to, like, that you love something so much, and you were doing it for yourself. They're, like, you were just doing it with your friends, and you're, like, in Oklahoma City, no one knew what you were up to, you weren't having lots of, there wasn't any fanfare, it was just you going for it, alone, you know, with your friends, and, he wasn't doing it to get on TV, or, mm-hmm. like, that's kind of the opposite. TV's, if someone ever filmed you, it kind of threw you off, but, he's doing it because he loves it, and, it's pretty amazing.
Matt, what do you think, if I guess the BMX didn't catch on, what do you think you would have ended up doing?
BMX? I mean, yeah. My rant's the same in the backyard. You know, yeah. It doesn't change whether other people are doing it or not. So it's just, and you know, that's the thing. It's, it didn't really, you know, nothing changes my perspective if I'm the only one that does this, you know, mm-hmm. So I'm just doing it because, you know, I like to do it, and it's something that I can do on my own terms, whatever. Yeah.
What do you guys think about the whole digital distribution that Tribeca is doing now, the instant where you can instantly
watch it? I think it's awesome, yeah. Like, if you're a film buff and you aren't able to make it, to just be able to be a part of the film festival without being there, mm-hmm. it's amazing.
Yeah, it's great for a filmmaker, too. You get all this press around, if your film is, you know, we were lucky enough to have it premiere at Tribeca tonight, and you get all that press, and then if it's, you can go on video on demand and it's ready to download. It's just, you know, it's just better for the filmmaker too.
Yeah, you get eyeballs on it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And then finally, what's coming up for you guys?
Well, we're right in the middle of shooting Jackass 3 in 3D.
3D.
Yeah.
Be scared. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Are you shooting that in 3D? I mean, with
shooting
the
3D, yeah.
Oh, in stereo cool. is what we call it in the industry. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jeff, Johnny, and Matt, and thank you for listening. Hey guys, if you get a chance, please give some ratings love to this podcast on iTunes. And, as always, keep coming back to DailyActor.com for more interviews, news, columns, and resources. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.